On this podcast, we talk to a lot of professional athletes and adventurers who are performing at the highest level. But what happens when that commitment no longer brings them joy? Leaving behind a sport that has been a major part of their identity can be tough to reconcile.
People aren't one-dimensional. It's so easy for people to get labeled like as an athlete, as an artist, as a singer. But people are so much more than that. We all have different passions and hobbies, and we have multiple of those. And it's totally okay if you're giving up one passion because you're going to find something else in life.
Retired pro skier Grace Miller is intimately familiar with this change of course. Grace grew up in Alaska and started skiing at a young age. Before she was out of high school, she was recruited to compete at the highest level. But at age 23, after competing on the world stage, Grace decided to leave skiing behind to pursue some new wild ideas. I'm Shelby Stanger, and this is Wild Ideas Worth Living, an REI Co-op Studios production brought to you by Capital One. Grace Miller skis with one pole. She was born with a limb difference, and her left arm ends just a few inches below her elbow. Growing up in Alaska, Grace spent many weekends skiing with her mom and competing on her high school ski team. Grace Miller, welcome to Wild Ideas Worth Living.
Hello.
We're excited to have you, and this is your first podcast, so congratulations.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You know you're an athlete. You started as a Paralympic cross-country skier, which is pretty badass. How did you find cross-country skiing?
Yeah, so actually my mom used to be the U.S. biathlon coach. So I've been skiing. I was originally adopted from China when I was 3 years old. And then as soon as she adopted me, she kind of put me on skis. So I've been cross-country skiing since I was like 3 years old.
For people who don't know, you're born without a left forearm?
Yeah, I was born without my left forearm. I'm about 3 inches past my elbow. So I'm what is called a below elbow amputee. And it apparently happens within like the first couple weeks of conception is that when you're first born, you're just like a little bundle of fibers. And then one of the fibers accidentally got caught around what would have been my arm and like amputated it like really early on.
Tell me how that's affected your skiing.
Really? Not that much. I just ski with one pole. I have my right hand and that's it. But all the time I get asked, oh, how do you do this with one hand? And I'm just like, I don't know. Like, this has been my whole entire life. Like, I don't know anything different. The idea of having two hands is just so foreign to me.
So what was like a typical day like for you growing up?
Typical day is going to school and no matter what, school never got canceled. We could get like 10 inches of snow and it wouldn't get canceled. So I'd go to school and then I'd go to ski practice afterwards. I skied in high school for 2 years, my freshman and sophomore year for our high school team. And it was really fun. But back then, I was still trying to ski with two poles. So I actually wear a prosthetic and we had a prosthetic adapter that could hold a pole. And we were still trying to like figure that out. And I was just like so frustrated on like trying to ski with two poles in high school. It just like wasn't working just because if you think about it, there's so many wrist movements that you have, especially if you think about poling, like it's just you plant in and then you're going to like release it with your wrist and then pull it back. And it's just that's really hard to like replicate with a prosthetic. So I stopped my junior year of high school skiing completely just because I was like so done with it. And then ironically, actually during that year, I got recruited to the U.S. Paralympic ski team. And then in the Paralympics, you aren't allowed to ski with any like extra equipment. So like I wasn't allowed to ski with a prosthetic anyway. And I realized it was just so much easier to ski without a prosthetic.
Any like memorable moments of competing that you can share?
Oh my gosh, there's so many moments of competing. Almost every single one of my races after I would finish, I would just cry. Not for like any particular reason, but just because I think I'm just so like emotionally and physically drained. When I was racing in Canmore, Canada, which we would always do a training camp in the fall there, and we'd go there for like a month because Canada always gets snow first. I remember we were like skiing and on this race course and like there were deer running across the race course. And they were so worried about like one of the deer running into the skiers. They were like trying to make sure like no one got hit by a deer, which is so funny.
Yeah, I mean, what do you see when you cross country ski? You know, that's not a sport that I've done too much. I did it a little bit when I lived in Breckenridge, Colorado, and for years I've been a runner and I just loved it.
Yeah.
But it is unlike a lot of sports. Talk to me about it.
Yeah, no, I think it's one really cool thing about cross-country skiing is that I'll be able to do this for like the rest of my life. And it's just really peaceful to just be out in nature surrounded by snow-covered trees. And you get so addicted to the sound of crisp snow of perfectly groomed trails. It sounds so good.
And I imagine in Alaska, there weren't a lot of people who had like limb difference like you did.
No, not at all, really. Like, I remember I went to my first World Cup in Canmore, Canada. And that was the first time that I'd ever seen anyone else with one hand was when I was 18. And it was just mind-blowing to me because I was like, is that what I look like? Because oddly enough, that even though I've had one hand my whole entire life, I still imagine myself with two hands. When I was in elementary school, kids would ask me what happened to my hand. And I started telling them that I got attacked by a bear.
That's messed up. You lived in Alaska.
I know. So I remember I got called into the principal's office. My mom was there. And the principal was like, did she actually get attacked by a bear? And my mom was like, no, she was born with one hand. And he's like, she's scaring all the kids at school. They don't want to go out to recess. They're afraid of getting attacked by a bear. But it was just so great to meet people with other limb differences because it's just like an instant bond. Because we know what it's like, you know, if you don't have a disability and you see someone on the street with a disability, do not ask them about it. It's not something you need to know. I have a whole bunch of friends with missing limbs and stuff that I still don't know like how they got that, you know, because it doesn't really matter. Like, it's just who you are and you don't really need to know.
With Grace's skiing talent, it didn't take long for her to get noticed on an international level. She was only a junior in high school when she was recruited to the U.S. Paralympic ski team. She couldn't even legally vote yet. Within a year of joining the team, Grace was traveling around the world competing. In 2018, she attended the Olympics in Pyeongchang, and in 2022, she competed in the Olympics in Beijing. You were recruited when you were in high school. I'm just really curious what it was like to get recruited, because that's a big thing.
Yeah, I think I am honestly in a very niche field. Like, I'm a female cross-country skier with one hand, and cross-country skiing in general isn't that big of a sport. So that definitely helped a lot, which is why I was an easy recruit. And since I've been skiing since I was three, like, I know how to ski. Obviously, I've improved since I've been on the team, but I knew I had like a good baseline to improve upon. And it was really exciting, and it allowed me to ski in college, which was really cool, which is something I like never even dreamed about, was being a collegiate athlete. So, yeah.
Amazing. So when they actually did ask you to join Team USA, was that an easy yes for you, or did you have to think about it?
No, it was like definitely a like immediate yes. I was like, absolutely. But the thing about me is that like it was never really a dream of mine. It was something that I didn't ever really think about or even know about till like junior of high school, until I got told about it. I grew up in Alaska, really small farmer town vibes, so not very much going on. So I think because of that, it was actually really healthy for me, because when I did get recruited, I was actually like mentally, like I think pretty healthy, because I hadn't really been in a competitive sports environment like that. So the first couple years was definitely getting used to all of that. And then the past couple years, like I've definitely been able to kind of fill those shoes that I was like representing Team USA and stuff like that.
What was it like to actually go to the Olympics?
Oh my goodness. I'm very lucky, and I was able to go to two Paralympic Games. So like Pyeongchang, I got told a month before that I was going, and I had literally just got recruited to the Paralympic team that spring. I had no idea what I was doing. I hadn't even trained for like a year. I thought there was just this fun group I was joining, not really quite understanding what was happening. So like a month before, in December, I got told that I got selected for the Paralympic team and I was going to go. And I was just like this big, like, doe-eyed deer. I was just like, what? And then I remember like being stressed about school, and I was like, I don't know if I can take that much time off of high school. And I remember doing chemistry in the Pyeongchang village, because I still had to do homework. And it was just like a really, they brought me that year just to be prepared for actually the Beijing Games, just so that I would kind of understand more of what was going on, you know? So it was a great learning experience. I learned a lot. I got to meet all of Team USA, which is really cool. And the experience itself is just surreal. You get on a plane, like you fly to some landing location, like LA, and then you're like in a hotel for a couple days. They outfit you with all of this like free Team USA gear. Then they fly you off to like wherever you're going, which is like a 12 to 16 hour flight. And then it's just like everything is catered. There's free food everywhere. Like, it's just surreal. And everyone's like, I don't know. You know, there's the Team USA hype. The thing about Beijing is that I was adopted from China when I was 3 years old. And I was actually adopted from Guangzhou, which is about, I think, like an hour away from Beijing. And I hadn't ever been back. And Beijing was my first time going back in 20 years. So it's a really kind of like surreal moment because I was adopted from China 20 years ago. Now I was coming back for the first time to represent Team USA. So it was a really cool moment.
What was that like for you?
I didn't think I was going to be emotional about it, but then, like, as the plane was landing into Beijing, I just, like, started crying. Like, it was just, like, so crazy because I was abandoned when I was a baby in China. And it's just all these fears of abandonment from a young age, you know? But obviously, being adopted and coming to the U.S., I'm very, like, well-loved, and I have a great community of people, and I live a great life, which I'm very blessed to have. It's just crazy to think what my life could have been if I, like, had stayed in China, you know?
While Grace's first Olympic experience left her starry-eyed, her second time around in Beijing was very different. So different, in fact, that her time there planted a seed. She started to wonder if this was what she really wanted to do with her life. When we come back, Grace talks about how at age 23, she made the decision to retire from competitive skiing and what she's doing next. I have good news. The REI Co-op MasterCard turns everyday spending into limitless possibilities by offering benefits and rewards that support your love of the outdoors. The REI Co-op MasterCard is just available to members, taking your membership even further by offering 5% rewards on every purchase at REI, on top of your typical 10% co-op member rewards on full price purchases. And there's a bonus. This card also includes a 1.5% reward on purchases anywhere MasterCard is accepted. Not only does the REI Co-op MasterCard benefit you as a co-op member, but it also gives back to the community by donating $2 million annually to the REI Cooperative Action Fund. Visit rei.com/mastercard-podcast to learn more about these benefits and to apply. That's rei.com/mastercard-podcast. Terms apply. In the same pioneering spirit of our podcast, Teva is all about bringing wild ideas to life. Teva was born in 1984 when a resourceful river guide strapped two Velcro watch bands to a pair of old flip-flops while adventuring across the Grand Canyon. The company has retained the same pioneering spirit ever since. Their brand mission is simple: to be your guide for adventure in the modern outdoors. This spring, they're introducing a fresh batch of earth-conscious materials that are sustainably minded and help reduce our impact. The Hurricane XLT2 Sport Sandal is made to go just about anywhere, delivering all-day comfort with a cushy EVA footbed, padded heel strap, and Rapids-ready rubber sole. If boots are more your vibe, the Grandview GTX is Teva's most technical hiker yet, engineered with a breathable Gore-Tex upper that seals out the elements. The patented universal heel lock system reduces toe pressure while trekking downhill, keeping you secure and comfortable. So whether you're seeking a do-it-all sports sandal or a style to take on the trail, Teva has a pair for you. Check out the consciously crafted Teva footwear this spring with select colors available at your local REI and at rei.com. If you're looking to go on more adventures this year, I have something you're gonna love. Did you know that REI offers wholly immersive outdoor experiences where they manage all of the details? I'm talking bucket list vacations, like camping in Bryce Canyon or snowshoeing through Lake Tahoe. They'll even take you cycling through Alaska. REI organizes all of the accommodations and works with world-class guides to plan your outdoor adventure and make sure you're doing it safely. What I love most is that these trips cater to beginners and experts and are suitable for various groups, including families, women, and those under 35. That means that there's an adventure for everyone. With more than 100 trips from coast to coast, REI is sure to have a trip that will get you outside, learn new skills, and meet new friends for future adventures. And there's a bonus if you're an REI Co-op member. members save an average of $400 on each trip they book and get a bunch of other benefits. If you're not a member yet, we'll share a link in the show notes so you can join today. Visit rei.com/adventures to find the itinerary for you. That's rei.com/adventures. In 2023, adaptive skier Grace Miller decided to leave professional athletics. She had traveled around the world competing at the highest level, but at age 23, after 5 years of giving it her all, Grace decided to retire. It was incredibly gutsy that she chose to follow her heart rather than the status quo. To onlookers, it seemed like her career had just begun. But for Grace, prioritizing her mental health was far more important than continuing on a path that wasn't fulfilling. I'm really curious what it was like when you decided to stop being a professional skier, because that decision's really hard and you were really young when you made that.
Yeah, I think even though I'm so proud to be able to have represented Team USA and be on the US Paralympic team, it's never been a life goal of mine. I'm just very lucky and it's something that I happen to be pretty good at and be able to do. But I definitely want to, like, I know my passion is to work in healthcare and I actually am applying to PA school right now.
And amazing.
Yeah, I'm hoping to go to grad school within the next year. And yeah, I think that that's the main reason I retired, is just because I realized, like, as much as I loved it, it wasn't my passion. Yeah, and it was really hard to step back, especially being so young, because most female athletes peak at like 26 to like 30. We just kind of tend to mature older. So
I'm sure that decision wasn't easy.
No, it definitely wasn't easy, but it was definitely like the year after Beijing, that Games was really hard. We were going through a pandemic. Russia announced war on Ukraine. Russia got banned from the Games while we were there. And it was just like really hard because it wasn't like any of the other Games. We were very much isolated. And even within Team USA, we weren't allowed to really mingle with each other because of the risk of getting COVID. You know, the Games is about bringing people together and showing our best. And just, I feel like the bringing people together didn't happen. So it was like really hard on everyone. After Beijing, it was just like, wow, this is like, I just am putting my whole entire life into this. And as much as I love it, I don't see myself doing this. And I just realized I wasn't willing to devote my whole entire life into something that I didn't have like a true passion for.
Did it take a while to get to that decision? Or did you just one day wake up and you're like, I don't want to do this?
No, it definitely took about a year. I started to get pulled into like different things. Like I graduated college 2 years ago and then moved down to Bozeman, Montana to train with the team full time. And then after Beijing, it was just, I got really into rock climbing and that was just so much fun. Like it's been such a joy for me to find a new sport that I can do that I don't have to be competitive in. Since people know me as a Paralympic cross country skier, they just think that like, I'm like really good at it, which yeah, like I'm good at it, but like I don't want to be competitive in it like all the time. And it's just this set expectation to have. And with climbing, I was just this complete, like no one knew me, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. So it's been really fun to be really bad at something, but to still be learning and be able to like move my body in a completely different way.
You know, Grace, I can relate a little bit in the sense that I was a really competitive soccer player. I was on the Olympic development team. And by the time I got to college, I was kind of over it and burnt out. And quitting, I thought, would disappoint my parents so much. I was so scared to quit the team. But I did. I like discovered journalism and all these other things and boys. And I was just like not really that interested in playing soccer every day anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the hardest thing for a lot of athletes is that all people are like more than one dimension. And being an athlete, people kind of tend to associate you with just being an athlete. And it's really scary to step away and be like, oh my goodness, am I losing my whole identity? But it's so not true. Like people have so many other passions and hobbies in life. And it's just realizing that you can't only do like one thing.
Was it hard for you to come to terms with your identity after you quit? Like, okay, now I'm Grace, but I'm not a professional skier Grace.
Yeah. No, it's so really hard for me to do because all the time when people meet me, they're like, what do you do? And I'm so used to saying, oh, I'm an athlete. And now, like, when people ask me that, I'm just like, I don't know. what I do. like I'm applying to grad school right now. I work full time as a nurse aide, but just I feel like a lot of the things just don't quite represent me as well. So it's just been really hard trying to figure out what I say to people. But I think I know taking a step back from the team was definitely like a right decision for me. I'm just so much happier overall because I'm able to do what I want when I want to, and I don't have to like double check with a coach that it's okay if I leave for the weekend and miss practice. As a younger person, I felt like I was missing out a lot in life. And for some people, it's really easy to give that up to be an athlete because they want that and have the drive for it. But I just honestly didn't have the drive for it anymore.
What have you learned about yourself in that time that you've left competition to just become Grace Miller, you know, someone who enjoys sports?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a big learning curve. And one thing I'm so grateful for with skiing is that it's made me a much more confident person than I was. Like, I gained so much confidence skiing. For the first, I'd say, even 4 years of my career, I felt imposter syndrome to the extreme. I was just like, everyone sees me as this really good skier, but in my eyes, I just wasn't. I just had this idea that in order for me to be good, I had to get first. And the mental aspect of being an athlete is really hard because honestly, a lot of your value to the team is what you're placing. So it's really hard to like separate, and I'm still working on that. taking a step back and retiring, I was really worried that I was going to lose like a part of myself. That was like, I've been a professional athlete for the past like 5 years. What am I going to do now? You know? And it's just been so much fun to learn that like, I'm so much more than an athlete. I love to be outside. I love to like do little doodles and make cards for people. And I've been able to spend so much time making a community in Bozeman and being able to work with outside groups and volunteer and like work a normal 9-to-5 job. Like, it's been fun.
Even though Grace has retired from life as a professional athlete, she's definitely still active in the outdoors. She's a Janji athlete, and she's partnered with many other outdoor brands. When Grace isn't working full-time as a nurse's aide, she's outside trying new sports like cycling, climbing, and ultra running. Bozeman, Montana is a haven for outdoor enthusiasts, and Grace's community there has encouraged her to go after some new wild ideas. So right now, you're super into rock climbing. I am curious about that. And yeah. You have a limb difference. So climbing, you know, people think it requires two hands.
Yeah.
So tell me how you've adapted rock climbing to work for you.
Yeah, rock climbing was something I didn't even know I could physically do until like 2 years ago. That Mo Beck, she is the best one-armed rock climber in our country right now. And she slid into my DMs and she's like, hey Grace, do you want to come rock climbing? I'm in Bozeman, Montana right now. And I'm like, what? I had followed her on Instagram for a really long time, but I still didn't think it was like possible for me to do it. So I got to go climbing with her and it was just like the best experience ever. It's just skiing is definitely a endurance sport and rock climbing is an endurance sport, but not in the same way. And the finger muscles you need for rock climbing is just so hard. So it's just so much fun to be able to move my body in a completely different way.
Tell me about this first time she took you rock climbing. Like, what was it like? Where did you go?
Yeah.
How did you do?
We went to just our local gym here. It was an indoor gym. It was like the perfect place because everything is very safe. And it was a learning curve on how to use my left arm because usually it actually doesn't really do much, honestly, because I don't use it like a hand. She taught me like how to tape up my arm and everything so that I do wear a prosthetic. My arm is usually in a socket, so I just taped it up so it wouldn't get absolutely destroyed by like the rough texture of the rock holds and everything. And it was just thrilling to be able to learn something new and to do something what I once thought was impossible for me to do and realize that it's very much possible for me to do. It was just so nice to be able to be in a new sport without expectations that I have to be good at it. I love the mental challenge of rock climbing, that as soon as you figure out like the correct moves, it's really easy to do. But all the time I'll just be like stuck on the wall. I'll be like, I don't know how to do this. I can't do it. And then I'll just think about it for a little bit longer and then it's really easy to do. So it's very much of more of like, I feel like an instant gratification than skiing. Because skiing, all we're honestly doing is just skiing in circles. It's just like, well, I think I skied that circle faster than the last one. You know? Versus climbing is like, much more gratification because like, oh, I just topped out on this climb. Like, it's very obvious you're improving, you know?
So when did you start outdoor climbing?
I started outdoor climbing about a year ago. It just really mixed two things that I really loved, which was climbing and being outside. And it's been so much fun to look at a random rock outside and be like, I bet I could climb that. And I love the slower pace of climbing. That skiing, it's kind of, I feel like, go, go, go. Like, we're going to go ski for 2 hours, do this, keep moving the whole time, and then go home. Versus climbing is like, oh, we'll like get to the crag at 12, maybe start climbing at 1, do a couple climbs, and then go home. It's just much more casual.
It is pretty casual, and it's a commitment. So you're also a runner. Do you run for fun as well, or is that just casual? Do you compete?
I did my first 50K race this summer, which was really fun.
Yeah, that's no joke.
Yeah, honestly, one of my the decisions I made when I retired from skiing was I signed up for 50K and I adopted a dog. So
okay.
Yeah, those are the two kind of crazy things I did. So
what made you decide to adopt a dog?
Honestly, because I wasn't getting outside as much as I was when I was training full time with the team. And getting a dog has done exactly what I was hoping to do, that now every time I get off of work, I'm like, well, I have to go for a run because Henry needs to go for a run.
Good for you. Any advice to other people who maybe want to give something up that seems amazing on paper but isn't serving them any longer?
Yeah.
And they're afraid to make that decision because it doesn't make sense on paper?
Yeah, I think what was easiest for me to think about is that people aren't one-dimensional, that it's so easy for people to get labeled like as an athlete, as an artist, as a singer. But people are so much more than that. We all have different passions and hobbies, and we have multiple of those. And it's totally okay if you're giving up one passion because you're going to find something else in life.
Grace has learned that she's more than a professional skier. And now that she's retired, she's found new ways to fall in love with nature. If you don't follow Grace on Instagram already, I definitely recommend her page. She shares tons of great photos from her adventures, and her captions are short and funny. Check it out at Grace Miller AK. That's GRACEMILLERAK on Instagram. The weekend after this interview, Grace was planning on going ice climbing with past Wild Ideas guest Vasu Sojitra. If you like this episode, you might like our conversation with Vasu as well. We'll have a link to it in our show notes. Wild Ideas Worth Living is part of the REI Podcast Network. It's hosted by me, Shelby Stanger, produced by Annie Fassler, Sylvia Thomas, and Sam Pierce-Nitzberg of Puddle Creative. Our senior producers are Jenny Barber and Hannah Boyd. Our executive producers are Paolo Motola and Joe Crosby. As always, we love it when you follow the show, take time to rate it, and write a review wherever you listen. And remember, some of the best adventures happen when you follow your wildest ideas.